Amen. I got turned on to God's word. My life has changed. It happened for me in 1980, getting turned on to the word of God. And ever since that time, my life has changed. I was saved in 75. And I loved the Lord Jesus with all my heart and all my life and everything that I had in me. I loved him dearly. I really did. And he did a great work in my heart and my life. And I'm thankful for all that. But it was almost 5 years later in Charlotte, North Carolina, at a crusade or a convention that I went to there, that I really got turned on to the word. I really, at that point, began to believe, you know what? That Bible is talking to me. Before that, I thought it's talking to all of us, and I'm one of them, and, you know, it's okay. And I was living by it. I really was. But then I found out it's talking to me. And I can base my life on the word of God. And I can stand on its promises and believe what Christ has said to me, and believe what the scripture is talking about to me, and see it fulfilled in my life. And from that day in 1980 till now, I've been living in the word of God, standing on the word of God, turned on to the word of God, excited about it. Every day. It's a good word that God has given us. Amen? Do you have your Bible with you? I hope you do. Let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Louder, come on, hallelujah. Let your spirit out, hallelujah. Glory to God. I like saying that, and I said, take that devil in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good to us, and I give him all the praise and all of the glory. If we're going to get there in a few minutes, I got 100 different places to go today, but only a few minutes to get there. But I'm not eastbound and bound, whatever the song is. But anyway, I'm not that's going on. But let's just think a little bit about the word, what we've been talking about. I've been talking about the best of life for the last four, I believe it is, services that we've looked at things. And talked about the best of life that God has for us. We recognize and we begin to look through Scripture and see things that God has. I found in life that many people, they don't expect the best. They're just barely going to get by and barely going to make it. And you know what? This life is going to happen to them, and there's nothing they can do about it. And they're just going to go through this life, and you know, whatever happens, and usually it's bad that the world gives you, and woe is me, this kind of stuff. And that's not the life that you have when you have a life in Christ and you live according to his word that he has given us. It's a completely different life than that. It is a very best that life has for us. And each of us can enjoy that in our life. We can enjoy the very best of life. Somebody say, I can have the best of life. Well, of course, you start out with Jesus Christ, don't you? Because you're not going anywhere until you got Christ in your life. I mean, it doesn't matter if you did have it all and you don't have Jesus, you've lost it all. You've lived a life of a fool, and when you die, you won't be going to heaven. You'll be on your way to hell, and that's not where we need to be, and that certainly is not the best of life. So make a choice and choose Christ Jesus in your life. We've talked about that. We begin to find out what happens is this, as we begin to recognize how valuable we are to God. We read the parable that Jesus gave when he talked about the pearl of great price, and like a servant man, that a salesman, so to speak, that went into a far country and he found this pearl of great price, and he went back and he sold everything he had and he bought it. And we found out that we are the pearl of great price, that Christ has come to the earth and he found us and he gave himself, he gave everything that he has just for you and just for me. And so that makes me very valuable, and you are very valuable too. I am worth a lot. You and I are worth a tremendous amount. God has given his all just for you and me. We found out that we are very valuable to God, and being made valuable to God, we saw that our identity now becomes not that we are sinners any longer. We are no longer bound in captivity by the devil. The devil has no chains on us. He cannot bind us. He has been made to let us go free. How many's free? Say amen. And so we are free in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus has made us. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, or we begin to look at, or 5:17, I believe it is, he talks about that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Verse 21 says that you and I, we have been made the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, who was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So my identity today, if you give it the world, you know, they want to have some people identify as whatever they want to identify as, I identify as the righteousness of God. That's my identity. That is who I am. I am not a sinner. I don't think in my mind of being a sinner. I don't want to ever sin again in my life. I'm just going to let you understand that. You might too, but hey, if we sin, we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and keeps on cleansing us in the righteousness of God. And so I'm thankful for that. And so I identify myself as the righteousness of God. We learn we're very valuable. We are the righteousness of God. We looked at that. We also looked and we began to see in Scripture that it's okay to desire some things. It's okay in life for you to have desires in your life. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 and 5, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I've got many desires in my heart. One of them sitting on the front row here today, the desire of my life. And, you know, you can have the desire of your heart. You can have what just on the inside of you says, I got to have that. I want that. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I know the world sometimes would want to teach us that you should never want to lift yourself out of the mire, never want to lift to a higher place that God has for you. But it's okay. Now, you know I've emphasized it over and over again. It's not that stuff and things ever going to take a priority in our life. They're not. Jesus is the priority in our life. But with Christ Jesus, we find that He loads us down with blessings daily. Amen? And you know what? When you think about the wealth and the riches of the world that we have, Christians, sometimes we live this way and we'll say, you know, we're not supposed to have anything or be able to accomplish anything or do anything here on planet Earth. But yet when we get to heaven, you know, we say everything's going to be great and grand and glorious, and we're going to have our mansion and we're going to have streets of gold. And it's such a wonderful life. But you know what? I understand this is earth and that's heaven. I know that. But I've been able to enjoy a little bit of heaven on this earth. How about you? And God can bring some of that blessings into our life as well. We'd love Him. It didn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter. We're going to love and serve Him all the days of our life. But in the midst of all that, I found that God blesses us. He blesses us tremendously in our life. And His blessings load us down daily. Grace and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And so we learned it's okay to have some desires in your life. You can have some things that you want, some things that you set your heart on, and some things that you just really want to have in your life and you want to see take place. It's a desire. It's okay. We learned that. We also learned the last time we talked about the power of a decision. That each of us are put on this earth, and that's one thing that we've had since the days of Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. When God told Adam and Eve, and He said to them, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but don't eat of that tree of knowledge, good and evil. He didn't make them do one way or another, but He gave them the choice. And we've all had a choice since that day. Every one of us can choose. We saw in Joshua said this day, you know what, if it seems all right for you to serve God, serve God. If you think it's right to serve Baal, serve Baal. He said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, and as for you, choose you this day whom you will serve. Every one of us have a choice to make in our life who we are going to serve. I choose Jesus. How about you? Amen? We do. And so we have the power to decide, the power to choose in life. We looked at that. Now, what I want to talk about, this principle that I have today that I want to talk to you about, turn me to the book of James that we're going to look at. And let me get there, the book of James, and chapter 1. And here it is. The sixth thing I want to talk to you about, or fifth thing that I want to talk to you about today is this, is you and I must know something. We must know that we've got to have to believe and we have to act on the fact that God's blessings come into our life through action. Somebody say action. I heard on the news the other day, I don't know where it's at, I don't know if it's because, you know, with radios nowadays, you got XM radio and local and long radio and FM radio. How many remembers when you didn't have FM, you just had AM? Anybody remember that? And you got your channel, like, and then you locked it in, and you finally found your channel that you could get. I remember I found a channel at WORD in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Like, Old Man Blakely is who it was, Old Man Blakely, and he used to play those tunes in Spartanburg, I tell you what, and different things like that, you know. And but we have to learn in life is this, that when we come before God, that there is action. On that radio program, what I heard a fellow giving the news broadcast, his name was Action Jackson. I said, I like that, Action Jackson. How about Action Leon? I'm going to call it Action Leon. I want to do Action Jackson with the news. Well, I'm Action Jackson. Action Leon was a word. But anyway, when you talk about that, action is what brings it all together. Sometimes we get so religious to where that we come over into this area of thinking. Well, God is sovereign. God is going to do whatever He wants to do. It doesn't matter what you or I would do. In fact, woe be it unto us that we would be so high-minded as to think that something we did would affect God in our lives. No, 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 no. God will do whatever. You got to say it religiously. God will do whatever God wants to do. That's what people say. Of course, they don't believe that, but that's what they say. Because they get sick, they go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, make me well." Well, why'd you do that? Why didn't you let God make you well? If he's going to make you well, I mean, if he wants to, he would. If he didn't, he wouldn't. I mean, you don't want to throw it to the mind of God, do you? No. Doctors are here to bless us and help us. Amen. But God's here to give us healing and blessing. Amen. He is. And so there is that thinking that there ain't nothing you can do about your lot in life. You born this way, you weren't born under a lucky star. You were born cursed. One man wrote a book called, A.A. Allen years ago, Born to Lose. You were born to lose. You know, I don't know what the world has labeled you, but I'm going to tell you, when you came to Jesus, you are no longer a loser. You have not been born in Christ Jesus to ever lose again. Have I lost again after accepting Christ? Maybe a time or two here, but never when I followed Jesus. When I followed this guy here, I probably lost a few times. I sure have. Says I made it okay. I'm sort of weaseled my way through. But other times I lost and followed me. But every time I lost, I wasn't following God. And so what we have to realize in life is there's something you got to do. You got to do something. You have to take action about your circumstances in life. You can't just say in life, you know, that whatever will be, que sera, sera. You can't just say that. You can't say, well, that's just the way the ball bounces. You can't just say that's the way the cookie crumbles. And if that cookie crumbles around my house, I'm going to get every single crumb because Sheila don't give me but one cookie. One cookie. Those crumbs are precious. But anyway, you can't just say that's the way the cookie crumbles. You can't say that's the way the ball bounces. If you have that line of thinking, then whatever this world does to you or whatever it brings your path, that's just it. You got to accept it. Well, how come? Well, they said. Well, that's what they said. I don't know, Pastor Leon, but that's what they said. So I'm just going by what they said. Well, stop going by what they said. Start going by what God said. Amen. God's got a whole lot more wisdom and knowledge than they. I mean, you hear people say that all the time. You know, they say this, they say there. I'm just thinking somewhere in this United States, there's a city or town where people live and it's they. And they just say all these wonderful things. And somehow we find out that they say and they said. But you don't have to live your life by what they said and what they say in your life. Live your life by what God has said. And your life is dependent upon, really, think about it like this. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish. And 1 Timothy 2, 4 says, God is God who have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So I've given you two verses of Scripture right there. We can look at John 3, 16, the text of the Bible, that God says, whosoever will be saved. We can look at many other verses of Scripture, and we find out this, that God's will is that all men are be saved. God wants every single person in this life to be saved. You, me, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, mom, dad, grandpa, everybody, enemies, people you work with, people you don't know. God wants everybody to be saved. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt because the Word has spelled that out for us very clearly. But what I also know is this, everybody's not saved. Well, if it's God's will for everybody to be saved and everybody's not saved, then the everybody must have a choice in this thing. So there is a choice to be made by you and I. These choices have to be followed with action. It's not just make a choice and say, that's it, I don't have to do anything. No, you make a choice and then you do some things. You have action in your life. Look what the Bible said in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. James said it like this. He said, but be you doers of the word. Everybody say, doers of the word. Notice it. Doers of the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. As much as I'm so grateful to see you, wonderful crowd of people here in church today, and the fact that you're here, thank God that you're here. You have honored God because you are here. You've respected this holy day that we've set aside to worship the Lord. Thank God for all that. But if after all of that, you walk out of this building today and you don't do anything about what you hear today, you wasted your time. How do you know waste my time, Pastor? Because he said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. If you are only a hearer, if you are a hearer only, you deceive yourself. If you think something's going to change just because you heard it, whatever it was, nothing doesn't change. You could even heard it through the grapevine, amen, but nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Remember them little raisins that walk across the thing and they talk about heard it through the grapevine, the Hardee's commercial, that kind of thing? Well, hear it is good. That's the starting place. You need to be a hearer, but it ain't changing just because you heard it. How many things in life have I heard that haven't changed my life. Some I'm very glad, because some things I heard that I didn't take action on, and I'm glad I didn't take action on some of the things I heard, because they were the wrong things when the people were saying was wrong. But some things that I've heard, I've taken action on, and particularly on the things of the Word of God. Notice he's talking about be doers of the Word, not hearers of the Word only. Don't just be a hearer of the Word only, but be a doer of the Word. Because if you do just hear only, you're deceiving your own self. If you think your life is going to change for you at all, I mean one little bit, if you think it's ever going to change for you just because you hear and you don't do anything about what you heard, you're deceived. Doesn't happen that way. That's not the way the world operates. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it talks about seed time and harvest. There is a law that is in the earth. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, day and night, will never cease. There is a law of sowing and reaping in the earth. There's a law that you come in and you create an action, and for every action there is, and that becomes a cause, there is a response to that action, and something happens because of that. That's just how all of creation works. No way around it. Got to have action. Now, notice verse 23. If any man is a hearer of the word, let's say, okay, he's a hearer of the word, and he's not a doer. He's only the hearer. He's not the doer. He's like a man beholding his natural face. King James says natural face. Basically, you know, he's talking about a mirror. He beholds his natural face in a mirror. He comes up and he looks at himself in the mirror. Verse 24, and for he beholds himself. He really did see himself in the mirror. He really did see the image of who he was. But he goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He walks out and forgets what manner of man he was. I mean, you got to be careful when you look in the mirror, because they tell you what's going on in your life. Sometimes, depending on what mirror you're looking into. I was in my study today, and I was coming out, and I was combing my hair and make sure I'm presentable for all you folks today. And so as I'm doing that, I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm noticing that hair won't go down on the back of my head. Now, in my time of life, I'm fortunate to have hair on the back of my head. But anyway, I said, at least some. I said, it won't go down. Teddy's rubbing his head over. My goodness, oh, Lord. I said, that hair won't go down on the back of my head. I kept moving. I got the brush. I got the comb. It's going down. And I looked real close. I said, wait a minute. There's a picture behind me, and I'm seeing the edge of that picture frame on top of my head. That's what's standing up. It wasn't the hair on the back of my head. Oh, Lord. Be careful of those mirrors. Get you the right mirror to look in. Amen? Don't get you a lying mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? Get you a mirror that tells you what God tells you. The mirror of the Word. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. God's good to us. He beholds himself in the mirror. He goes his way, but he forgets what manner of man he was. In other words, you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't do nothing about what you saw. Maybe all unkempt, out of shape, and need to do some work for yourself in that mirror, but you look in the mirror, but then you walk away. Well, well. And you forget what you saw. Maybe you had some dirt on your face or got yourself all messed up and you didn't wipe the dirt off. Oh, well, what happened? You walked, the mirror didn't do you any good. Didn't do you a bit of good. Well, verse 25. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, look into the Word of God, not the mirror of the world, but look into the Word of God, and he continues therein. See the word continue, underline it, put it in a big bowl, put little stars on both sides of it. He continues therein. He continued. There is a key. Ah, that's a great key of success in life. Continue. Stay at it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Do it again and again and again and over and over and over. Do it again. Continue therein. Continue therein. He is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. The person that continues. He continually takes action on what he has seen. He does it again and again and again. He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget what he heard. He doesn't forget what God told him and what God said. He doesn't forget what the mirror showed him about his life. He doesn't forget that. He stays in there. He is a doer of the work. What about that man? This man shall be blessed. That's not the whole sentence. This man shall be blessed in his deed. He is blessed in his doing. He is blessed in his action. So the blessing falls on our actions. That we have. It just works that way. That's the way it happens. Nothing happens until you take action in your life. You must take action on it. Because if you don't, nothing's going to change. Imagine I studied accounting for 3 years. I was accountant for 7 years. But I was in debt for like 30 some odd years. And I knew what to do. I knew exactly what to do. I mean, I practiced what to do for other people. I knew what to do. But it wasn't until about 9 years ago that I found out that I need to take action on what I knew. Imagine living my life that long without taking action on it. And then when I finally took action on it, then my world changed. My world changed unbelievably since that time. And so you got to take action. It's not enough just to know. You can't just hear. You can't just say, I understand. You can't just say, I perceive. You can't just say, yeah, I understand what you say. It can't be that way. You've got to understand, know, perceive, and know what's going on, have the revelation of it that God has given you, and then go back and do something about it. Take an action. T.L. Osborne, many years ago, when he was in his crusades around the world, he would always say this after he prayed a prayer with people. They would all be there at the meeting. That was good. They had heard the word he preached. That was good. They heard what he said because T.L. was just loaded with the word, and that was great. And then he would pray. They honorably listened as he prayed, and they bowed their heads. That was respectful toward God and Brother Osborne. He did the right thing. But then he said something at the end that a lot of people don't say. T.L. would then say, now do what you couldn't do before. Take action on this prayer we have just prayed. Act like the prayer we have prayed is true and it is real. Take action on it. And then the miracles begin to happen. The miracles. Peter, when he was going to the gate called Beautiful, he's there, and this man has been sitting there all these years of his life. He's never walked. And Peter says, you know, I don't have any silver and gold to give you today, and I don't have anything to give you right now, but you know what? Hey, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Great word. Peter knew what was on the inside of him. He knew what Jesus could make him healed and whole. He knew all of that, but he did something else after that. He reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him up. He took action. Look at it. You see it again and again and again in Scripture. Action has to be involved there. And for anything to change in your life, you're going to have to take action on it. If you don't, we're deceived. We're fooling our own selves. All right. Now, let me show you something else. Let's begin to look through this. Look with me to James 4. You're there in the book of James. James 4. James 4, verse 1. Well, let's see. James 4, verse 13. Let's go there. What are you going to take action on? That would be a good question, my life. Okay, Pastor, you're going to drill this into me, tell me about taking action on things. Nothing won't happen until I do. What am I going to take action on? James chapter 4, verse 13 tells us this. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You may have heard me refer to that again in verse 13. That is the formula for success in business. Buy, sell what you bought, and get gain. If you do not get gain on what you sold, stop buying it. Amen? Or buy it at a different price. One of the greatest things that Sheila and AJ do in their business is this. When they find a market that we capture, or a market where there's some sales going on, or a market with great discounts, or you can promise to buy more for a greater price, they jump all over that. Because, again, as everybody knows in real estate, you do not make the money when you sell the property. You make the money when you bought it. For if you bought it too high, you'll never make money when you sell it. But if you bought it low and at the right price, then you'll make lots of money when you sell it. So the profit truly is made not when the sale takes place, but when you bought it. And that's why in their business, they'll just jump on things and whatever they have to do, whatever thousands of dollars it costs to buy products, they'll reach in there and buy it and buy it. And again, one thing I've heard them say over the few years is this, and when they do things like that, our only regret was they wish they'd bought more. Because it moved and it did what they thought it would do. It happened and it worked. There it is. Buy, sell, get gain. You could say, no, I'm not in a business. What about me? Okay, for you, income is your buying. Income. What is it that you sell? That's your expenses. Okay? And then the gains are different between the two. Make sure that your expenses are always lower than your income. You say, yeah, but I don't have nothing. Then you got to increase your income. Or you're going to have to lower your expenses. One way. But you must come out at the end of the day with gain. Or else you'll go negative and go down. Well, that's just a success principle in business that James taught us. But notice what he says. You people that go and say you're going to do this and that and the other, you're going to sit and buy, sell, get gain. That's good. But he says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I don't know if we do this much anymore, but how many remember putting a, you know, the kettle of water on the stove, and then a little steam and vapor comes out, and you turn the stove down, and then it stops, doesn't it? But that steam's gone. It's, the vapor just evaporated, we say, and it's no longer there. He says your life is like that. And it really is true, because you just blink your eyes and you're 10 years older. You know, blink your eyes and you're 20. It's amazing. Just blink your eyes and it seems like, you know, time has just really flew by in your life. And so life is like that. It's just like a vapor. And he's saying, be careful about that. He says, here's what you ought to say. You that have all your big plans and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you got all kind of plans in your life. Plans good. But he said, now all of you that are saying that, verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, if the Lord wills, if it's his will, I'll do this or I'll do that. In other words, the this or that is determined by his will. Now, don't take that scripture and say, well, I wonder if God wants to heal me or not. No, 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 no. If it's clearly spelled out in the Word of God, you never, ever pray, as Osborne also said, those self-defeating words, if it be thy will. If it's spelled out in Scripture, if I see in Scripture, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. I know God wants me saved. I know God wants me in good health, and I know God wants me to have wealth. I don't have to question those. I don't have to say, God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? In those areas. But there are some areas of life where you need to know the will of God. And some things you need to get into, and some things you don't. And you need to seek God for that. Lord, what should I do in this situation? It was in September of 1982, before Sheila and I founded the church on October the 12th, very first service on Tuesday night, October the 12th of 1982. In September, prior to that, as we were making arrangements to do things and make things happen, the Lord spoke to my heart, and we began to fast and pray. And I know exactly where it was at. I know the day. It was on Saturday morning. I've been fasting for 3 days at that time, not long. 3 days at that time on a Saturday. And that Saturday morning, I had went out back of our house and our home and went out into the wooded area that behind us, which we didn't own it then, but we do now. And so I went back there into that wooded area, and I began to pray and seek God. And God spoke to me in that month of September of 1982 and told me to do exactly what I've done all these years of my life. And throughout all the years of my life, I've never looked back. I've never said, what if? I've never said, I'm going to quit. I've never said, I'm going to stop. It didn't matter. Money, people, building, results, it didn't matter. God told me to do what I'm doing, and I've been doing it all these years. And so, you know what? But I got the mind of the Lord on it. I knew what God had said for me to do. I understood that. And so whatever it is you want to do in life, get the mind of the Lord on it. You might have to fast a few days. It won't kill you to fast a few meals. Somebody say, amen. You might have to fast a few days. You might have to seek God diligently in prayer about which way you ought to go. Because sometimes, I mean, think about it in the area of marriage, whatever. You better make sure you get married. You marrying the right one. Somebody say, amen. Because if it ain't the right one you married, that wrong one sure will give you a lot of trouble. And so you need to make sure you got the right one at the right time, at the right place. Because you don't want it to be the wrong time at the wrong time at the right place, do you? You want to be the right one. What's that song? But anyway, you need to make sure that this is going to, well, and there's other things like about where you're going to work at in life. Some people go here or go there based on what just happened in the economy. Some people move from here to there based on what the economy just told them to do. Some people do this, do that, just based on what the situation around them happened was. Well, this is happening, so I guess I better go here. Well, you might not want to go there. Well, maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. But I know this, circumstances do not determine what you do. The will of God determines what you ought to do. And in the book of Genesis, when we see that Isaiah sowed in famine in Genesis chapter 26, when he was there in Palestine, and he was going to go down to Egypt because things were better in Egypt, and there's famine where he was at. But God said, no, don't go. Don't go to Egypt. You stay here and sow in this land. In the land of famine? Lord, are you nuts? Sow in the land of famine. That's what God told him. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 that in that same place that he sowed in a famine area, he reaped 100-fold, so much so that it made the Philistines envious of him, right in the midst of it. So it doesn't matter if times are good or times are bad. It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with God and your relationship with him. And so get the mind of God. Don't just say, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, that's what he's teaching against. It's all right to go buy, sell, and get gain, but should you do it in this city? Should you do it in that city? What should you buy? What should you sell? What kind of gain should you make on what you do? All those things you can subject yourself to the will of God in. And so ask yourself if you got something in your life. And if you don't, you ought to have something. I hope you got goals in your life. I hope you got things in your life that you are want to do. I hope there's things in your life that you haven't accomplished yet. Because if you've accomplished everything in your life that you ever wanted to accomplish, you might as well go on to glory. You're done. Right? You might as well, you're done. You might as well say, I'm done now. Don't turn me over again. I'm done. Going to go. No. I hope you got something you want to do. You want to live a long life? Keep something to do. Don't ever stop having something to do or having a goal. I said, what you going to do when you get this done? I'm moving on to the next thing. Moving on to the next thing. One thing I learned growing up as a child, my cousin Harry and I, we would go into the woods and we would build camps. Anybody ever build a camp in the woods? How about a fort? You ever built forts and stuff like that? We did all those things. But you know what the fun was? The fun was building it. How you got it built? It wasn't no fun. Just go sit in it. I mean, that was not, I remember building a treehouse when we first moved on the property we now lived on when I was a teenager. I remember building a treehouse up in some trees. And when I built that treehouse, it was fun building it. I mean, those days I had to hunt for bent nails, rusted nails, old pieces of board and old pieces of wood to nail together. Right? Now, that's how I built a treehouse. I had to hunt for all them old wood and old nails. AJ says a little later on he wanted to build a treehouse. I was okay. We went to Lowe's, bought all stuff, and I built it for him. But anyway, it was nice. Probably been a whole lot more fun if he built it himself with some broke nails and bent nails and rusted nails and some old boards. But I built one like that, and I finally got it built up. You get one room up there in the treehouse, you can't stop there. I mean, if you're done, you're done. So then I built a second level. Then one day I'm out there looking at my treehouse, and I done built me a little hammock to go in my treehouse, and I walk out there and get in my treehouse. One day, lay down the hammock, look up, right there's a snake crawled right up around me. I never went back to that treehouse another time the rest of my life. But you know what I'm talking about? Life just stops if you're not doing something. And you need a goal in life. Our goals can be different things. When I broke my arm, my goal was I hope I can move that finger again. That's my goal. And what do you do when you miss your goal and the finger don't move again? What do? Well, bought a keyboard and I said, I moved this hand. Didn't just stop. Didn't quit playing bass. I just playing it with my right hand on the keyboard. Didn't just stop. Even though I was in some adverse circumstance. Well, I kept moving, kept working, kept moving, and there I am. And I can do anything I want to do with my hand today. And so have goals in life. So if your goal is just moving your finger, or if your goal is just, you know, getting a little bit better off than what you are, or if your goal is just getting a little more healthy than what you are, have a goal. Set down some things. I want to do better than what I've been doing. I need to straighten up. Somebody say, straighten up. Yeah, need to do better than what I've been doing on some things. Have a goal. I tell you, a great goal I'd love to see you have. What if you had a goal that next Sunday morning you walked into church and it was 20 after 10? Some of you said, is there a 20 after 10 on Sunday morning? I didn't know it came twice. Yes, it does. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if we're all here in praise and worship? My, what a time we could have. Set a goal. Set a goal. You can do that. Set a goal. Set a goal in life. Determine something. And that's what he said. Well, what goal did he set? Pray about it. Ask God. What you want me to do? I'm not just going to that city to buy and sell and get gain. Tell me what I want to do. Ask yourself some questions about it. How can you know? Will you be a better person once you get your goal? Is that going to make you a better person or is it going to make you worse? It's going to make you a better person. Ask yourself, does God really want me to do this? Always ask yourself that. Does God really want me to do this? Is God going to get glory out of what I'm going to do? If I do this, is this going to hurt other people or is it going to help other people? Ask yourself that question. How's it going to affect other people? Ask yourself, is it going to violate my conscience? Is it going to make me do things that I know are not right? And stay away from that goal. That's not God. What about it? Is the rest of my family going to be enjoy the blessings of my goal? Is it going to bless them? Go for it. If it's not, stay away from it. I mean, you get married and you're part of a family now, and your husband and wife and kids. What, you don't have decisions by yourself anymore. You got decisions for all y'all. That's a southern way of saying, you know, everybody. You got decisions for all of you to do that. Can you sincerely ask God to help you with this thing? I mean, don't come up for prayer and say, Pastor, I'm praying. What you praying about? Well, I want God to help me. I'm about to open a nightclub. I'm going to try to get a beer license. No. Sincerely, can you really ask God to help you in that thing? Is it something you got to hang your head about or keep your head up high? No. How's it going to affect your personal testimony for Christ? If you get what it is you want or you desire, and you begin to put action into place to make it happen, how are people going to think about you? They're going to think you more Christ-like, or think you the worst thing ever lived on planet Earth, and how dare you name the name of Christ? Ask yourself those questions. Tell you what, you get your goals right with God, and I found out God lets you do a whole lot of things in your life. He'll give you so much to do, you can't get it all done. He'll give you all kinds of stuff to do. On my Outlook, I have probably about 100 tasks that I keep running all the time. And I knock off 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 through the years and this, that, and the other, add more to the bottom. Just add, because I've got stuff to do, things to do. All right. Now then, look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. When there's something in your life you want to do, you want to take action on it, something in your life you want to have action on it, begin to see yourself there. Begin to have a picture, a vision of whatever it is that you want in life. Begin to see it. See yourself enjoying it. See yourself actually accomplishing. Don't see yourself struggling to get it. Don't see yourself in hard times. See yourself after it's done. What did the Bible say about Christ Jesus in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12? That Christ endured the cross. He endured the cross because he knew what was coming after the cross. And that's what we need to do in our lives. There's things you might have to endure that are not comfortable for you, for sure. But see yourself with what it is. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We become what we think. And so begin to think in your heart what it is that you want God to do in your life. The vision, the goal, the dream, the desire, the thing that's out there. Begin to see yourself with it. Don't begin saying, well, I could never do that. It could never happen for me. You know, I'm just a nobody, whatever. Don't say those things. Begin to say things like, you know, if God did it through anybody, he can do it through me. And God loves everybody, and I know he loves me. And if God is, this is a good thing, and if it honors God, it honors my family and me, and it honors other people around, why not? I can do it. I can have it. I can go there. It can take place in my life. I can do it. And begin to see yourself with it. Begin to see yourself as it. Begin to do that in your life, and you begin to develop the vision of that. Because the Bible says this in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't keep it in front of your eyes, if you don't keep it where you can see it constantly, you'll walk away from it. You'll quit trying. You'll stop. But as long as you have that vision in front of you, it'll keep pushing you forward in life. I brought in a little thing that I've got here, and this is a little picture that we did. Somebody did it. I don't know. Somebody drew them. Anyway, several years ago, and that's a blueprint of our church that we're in right now. But the thing about it, if you can look, you can see the sanctuary. There we are. You can see those two rooms over there. They are. And you can see the size. You can count the pews. You can count the pews here. They match here, same way. You can see five sections. You can see five sections here. You can see everything here that you see right here. Everything is exactly the same. You can go into the office complex that we have with the nurseries. It's laid out exactly the same way. You can see right where my desk is at on this piece of paper right here. But you can literally go in and see my desk right there in my office, or physically sitting there. You can go into children's church. You can see it divided into teen area and children's church area. You can see the bathrooms. You can see everything right here. You want to tell you the secret, though? It was all right here when this was nothing but a piece of ground. This came into being because we saw this. See? This didn't just happen. I didn't just ride up the road one day and all of a sudden, hey, there's a church. My goodness, let's see if we can rent that. It didn't just happen because of that. No, we rode up the road and all we saw was a field full of trees and grass and all this kind of stuff. And so, but then we put the plans down for this. This is how we want it. Phase 1, 2, and 3. Here's how it looks. This is what it is. We saw it first. Had we not saw it first, it would never have been here first. And whatever it is that you have in life, get a picture of it. Get an image of it in your life. Begin to see it. I mean, when you wake up and you open your eyes, let that be the first thing you see. I mean, begin to look at it. Begin to let it just fill yourself to where it overrides your doubt and unbelief and fear and failures, all those things that all of us have had in our lives, and that new picture begins to override those things in our life. Get a vision. Somebody say, get a vision. All right, let me show you something else. Look with me to Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Another thing, Jesus said this, and Jesus, of course, knew exactly what he was talking about. In Luke 14, verse 28, he said, for which of you that intends to build a tower sits not down first? Don't build the tower first. Sit down first. Somebody say, sit down first. I have a very dear friend. He is just a wonderful preacher. He is a wonderful person. I love him dearly. I've known him many years. He has stood the test of time, and he is a great and wonderful man of God that pastors a church about an hour away from where we're at right now, and I just love him dearly. And that was the kind of thing. And he's a worker, too. He's skilled. He can do stuff, whatever. But I went to his church here a while back and went in to preach, and in his church, and one of the few churches I preached in. And so I went in. When I did, he said, come on back to my study. I went back to his study, opened the door, and I turned sideways and walked around like this to get to the back of his desk. And I said, well, you know, before we preach, whatever, maybe go to the restroom. He said, well, yeah, you can, but it's right back here. And I had to turn around like this and go like that. And the desk. And he had, in about a space this big, whatever, he had a desk and a bathroom and two chairs. And you couldn't open the door to close it because the desk hit every time. You couldn't sit down in the desk because you couldn't pull the chair out. Part of behind the thing. And they built every bit of that. And the thing was this, they built it without a plan. Somebody forgot to say, will a desk fit in the pastor's office? Because the answer is no. And then as far as the restroom that was connected to the pastor's office, it was fine, but it didn't have a commode in it. Didn't have a toilet in it. Because it wasn't big enough. Somebody just wasn't thinking. Now they built it, it looked good. If you've ever seen a bathroom right out of a toilet, I mean, it looked good. It did. And they did quality work. They really did do quality work. I'm not putting any, but they didn't see it and they didn't have a plan for it. And so why is it you and I think we can go through life without a plan and everything just, it just all worked out right. It just worked out good. Did you plan for this? No, not a lick. But it all worked out great. No. Jesus said this. Jesus said what? You got to sit down first before you build your tower. Sit down first. Think that thing through. Work it out in your heart and in your mind and your spirit. Think that thing through. And he says, count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it or not. Another thing that we did prior to coming up here, and in those days we had to impress the bank, but we don't anymore, thank God. But in those days we had to impress the bank. So what I put together was a portfolio here of what we're going to do here to build this church. And there's almost 100 pages in here that we put together before we ever lifted or turned the first shovel of dirt or anything and put it down. And you can look in it right here now, and you can see that it talks about it starts with the foundation. Well, what you got to do with the foundation? Well, you're going to have a permit. Then you're going to have insurance, and you're going to have some sewer and electric fees, all those kind of things paid. All that before you even come out here and turn the spade. Then you got to come in. You're going to have to do some loan appraisals. You're going to have to do some drafting costs, blueprint copies, cleaning, all that stuff, sewer hookups. It talked about every bit of that. And I put it all down on paper, and I told the bank exactly what I was going to do. Exactly, word for word. And then I gave them financial sheets, and I showed them the accounts of the church and how we expected to pay for it, how we expected to build it, what we expected to build, what was going to be when we got done, what would it price for after we build it, what was happening. Put every bit of that for them and laid it out on their desk and showed it to them. And then the vice president of the bank said, done deal, you can do it. And they gave us the right to build a building and gave us the money to do it. I mean, there just wasn't an issue. But why? Well, we had the plans. We sat down and determined the cost of our tower first. Now, that's far different than some people going to the bank. Well, we went to the bank, they won't give us any money. Well, I already know the bank's going to give you money before you ever get there. It depends on how you present yourself and what you present to the bank. And if you make the right kind of business model and right kind of business approach, you can get anything you want anywhere, whatever you want, if that's what line of business they are in. But you have to have a plan. And so whatever it is you want to do in your life, make a plan in your life. Sit down, count the cost of it, do the accounting of it. Okay, here's what I'm going to need to make this happen. By the time I get to this date, Brother Chris, building a building. He's told me again and again over the last year, and really a little bit more than that, but seriously over the last year, about that he's going to need to do this at the land. Well, the land's going to cost this much. Then when you put the land on, you're going to have to build a building. What are you going to do the building first? You're going to have to do some foundational work. You're going to have to put in the slab, the concrete slab. It's going to cost this much. So I'm going to need this amount of money on this date to do that. And you got to work out those things. If you don't, you get to a place and people ride by and they see that concrete slab up there that Chris is building 5 years from now and say, where's that building old Chris is going to build? I can't find a building up here anywhere. No, we don't want that to happen. Not going to, is it, Chris? No, not going to. Why? He's got a real plan that God has given him in his heart for him to do, and he's worked out the particulars, and he's making it happen. Little by little, we make things happen in life. You can do the same thing with whatever you do. What is your plan? What is your plan? August the 27th of this year, Sheila and I went to the doctor. Dr. Patterson, who we love very much, said we need to lose a few pounds. I didn't know what a few meant, but he said, let's lose a few pounds. And we said, it sounds good to me that we need to do that. So we decided that we would do that. August 27th, that very same day, we adjusted our eating. We said, all right. I said, Sheila, first thing we know is this. We know we're not going to eat broccoli every other meal. We're not going to eat cauliflower. We're not going to eat wild squash and all this kind of stuff all the time. We're not going to eat stuff we don't normally eat. So how can we lose weight by eating the stuff that we always eat? What I said. How are we going to lose weight by, you know, eating the same stuff? I said, a few things we might have to cut out, but we don't have to cut out everything. So we did not, we cut out a few things. I mean, I don't know what a Krispy Kreme donut shop looks like anymore. But anyway, I knew that some things just got to go. Okay, but a lot of things didn't. I said, if we go in town and we eat somewhere, where are we going to eat? She said, Burger King. Okay, what can we eat at Burger King that's going to make us lose weight? And we determined that we could eat a Whopper without the top bun on it and we'd lose weight. And so we eat Whoppers. We eat Burger King Whoppers. What can we eat at KFC and still lose weight? We go to KFC, we go to Nair, we can eat that Colonel Chicken Sandwich and still lose weight. What can we eat at Twin Palmetto and still lose weight? If I go in and it'd be BLT on toast with the mayonnaise and everything just like it comes, I still lose weight. Because I found out if I go in and eat a BLT without mayonnaise, it tastes crummy. And I probably won't stick with it. So my plan is to eat everything I always eat, but a whole lot less. And that was 25 pounds ago. So eat everything I always eat, but a whole lot less. So what's your plan? What's your plan? Write it down. Write it down. Again and again, Sheila says, and it gets me. I have my phone out. And Sheila will say, how many calories in the fish sandwich, Lynn? Oh, Lord. KFC, fish sandwich, how many calories? 49. How many did they say it was if we got it at McDonald's? Oh, McDonald's, fish sandwich, how many calories? Okay, that's... Now, how many did you say it was at KFC again? KFC, fish sandwich. You're talking about keeping a marriage together, man. You got to pray during them times. Right? Oh, Lord, help me. Yes, Sheila. Yes, all right, we'll do it. But you got to get that plan. Because if we make the wrong choice, we'll get the wrong result. So you got to make the right choice in life. Now, that's just the way we do it. You may do it differently, and that's fine. That's okay. You may enjoy eating things that taste like a cardboard box. I don't know, but if you do, that's fine. That's fine. If that works for you, stay with that. That's okay. That's okay. AJ used to, at our house, he used to cook stuff. Man, you didn't have to ask him, was he cooking? It filled up the whole house with the rottenest smell you ever smelled in your life. It was terrible. I don't know what it was, but it's awful. He said, here's some cookies. You want any cookies, Dad? Yeah, I'll try one. He gave me a cookie, and I tasted it. Man, this tastes awful. What? He said, I put a bunch of whey in that thing. I don't know what whey is, anyway. Why? Lead the way out next time. Put some more chocolate chips and sugar in that thing. It tastes good. Forget that whey. But AJ is unique in the way he does things. He's planting flowers out here under our sun. Y'all seen these flowers we've had all summer long? I mean, he had multiple talents. He planted these flowers out here under our sign that we had. And it's great. It's beautiful. He sent me a text yesterday. He took them out, put in some other little flowers there. He said, guess what, Daddy? I said, what's that? He showed me a thing. He had a whole bunch of Irish potatoes, about 15 or 20 of them. He said, them things weren't flowers. They were potato plants. Anybody need any yard work done? Isn't that right? Irish potatoes, right? What you going to do with them? In the woods? You couldn't eat them? Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, we just need to harvest them next time. All right, yeah. All right. That is. But get a plan that works for you. Develop something that works for you. It may not be what I do. Or what somebody else do. Get a plan that works for you and the plan that's always in God's will and God's word, all right? But count the cost first. Look what he says, verse 29. Luke 14, 29. Lest happily after you laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. Get something you can finish. Don't get something that you know you're not going to do in the first place. Some people talk to me sometimes, okay, here's what I want to do financially. What I want to do financially. Okay, I want to be out of debt and I want to be a millionaire. Okay, that's good. That's okay. You can do both of those things. Well, thing is, though, I want to be out of debt by tomorrow and a millionaire by next week. No, well, how much do you have now to go on that million? Not anything. How much debt do you have? $280,000. It's probably going to take you a little bit longer than next week. You know, based on the things I've seen, it's going to take a little bit longer than that. Get something you can finish. But I believe in faith. God can do anything. Well, if he has, how come he got you in all this debt all these years? But anyway, yeah, God can do anything. But he does it through you and through me about the actions that we do in life. So get you a plan that'll work for you. Somebody said, well, I'd like to be saving, you know, thousands of dollars a month. Okay, that's not a problem. You can do it. No problem at all. But if you're not saving anything, you're not going to start out there. You have to start out with saving a little each month. A little bit. And what you'll find, he that hath shall be given, and you'll begin to have more, and then you'll begin to save more. And it's incredible what you can do. And so it will happen for you, but make sure you can finish it. Start at it. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. And whatever actions you have, I can't do much. Well, a lot of us can't do much. But if you start, you'll find out that much will increase. Like the old song my grandma used to say, little is much when God is in it. It will turn to much. And God will do things for you. And so make sure that you can finish it in your life. That's happily after he had laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. Everybody, behold, they mock him, saying, this man began to build, not able to finish it. So count the cost, put it down, make sure you can do what it is that you want to do. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, write it down. Write it down. What's wrong with writing it down? Or text it down. Set yourself an automatic text every day that comes to you and tells you what to do. Text it. Say it to yourself. Write it down. Make it plain. Make it easy to understand so you know what it is you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Let's say I'm going to get out of debt. Well, the first thing I'm going to do to get out of debt is I'm never going to borrow another dime the rest of my life because you can't be in debt if I keep on borrowing. So I'm going to stop borrowing. May not be paying debt off yet. May not be anything. May not be saving yet. But all you say it is, I'm just not going to borrow anymore. And so you develop your plan where you won't borrow any money more. If you don't borrow anymore, then you don't need credit cards. Cut them up. Throw them away. Oh, Lord. Cut them up. Throw them away. Because you won't need them. Why? Because you're not going to borrow money more. Well, I can't do that. Well, you really hadn't made a decision. Go back to the decision-making process. Because you've got to make a decision. Okay? And so you make those kind of decisions in your life. You write it down. You make it plain so that you can run with it as you read the vision that is set before you. Look back to James. Look back to James. James chapter 1, verse 6. I'm about to bring us to a close. James 1, verse 6 is. James talks about specificness. It's surprising so many times how we as Christians approach God. And I've heard people do this on Christian television and this and that and the other, and they would say, well, God, just save everybody. Save all the world. Save my uncle, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, sister, mother. Save them all. Save all of Lawrence. Save all of South Carolina. Save all of the nation. Save all the world. Just save everybody. If there's anybody on any other planet, save them too. And people get an idea, and they never, those kind of prayers that they pray, is it something that we want to save everybody? Of course we do. Is it something that you can have faith for? Probably not. If you're not having faith for those in your own community, your own family around, you're probably not going to be able to stand your faith out there to a level if you're not using it even at a basic level. And so James instructs us, talks about, don't waver from one side to the other. Brother Hagin talked about it like this, is we become specific. Ask exactly what you want. Look at James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Okay, if you've got a request of God and you can't even believe it half the time yourself, you need to either get more faith or change your request one. Because he said don't have anything wavering. If you don't half believe what you're asking from God yourself, you ain't going to get it. Because you're wavering. Notice what he said. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and wind tossed. Let not that man think he receive anything from the Lord. Don't fool yourself. If you come to God and you don't believe it, don't think you're going to get it anyway. If you half in one day and half out the next, don't think that kind of life is going to work for you or that you're going to receive from God whatever you're praying and believing God for. You have to be totally, completely, absolutely convinced that you're going to receive. Don't waver. You say, but I wavered anyway. Okay, if you wavered anyway, then go back to the Word. Fill yourself with the Word and God's promises on the requests that you're making toward God. And then at the point that you have full belief, then you come back and make a stance on that belief. But if you're wavering, you need to do some additional things in your life that will secure the faith that you need to receive what it is that you're praying for. You got to become convinced. If you ain't convinced, nobody else ain't going to be convinced. If you're not believing God fully for whatever it is that you're wanting to receive, don't think the devil is going to come in and say, well, you're believing God. No, the devil knows you're doubting. He'll just hit you with that much more in your life. Don't waver, he says. Don't let that man think he'll receive it. Look what he says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's nothing going to happen for you. when you begin to waver and you're not specific about it. So be specific. It's not wrong. And I started this many, many years ago. Dr. Cho taught me this in 1982, I believe it was, in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cho taught me this about praying and be specific. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, pray every day for your daily bread. Brother Copeland taught me this. He said, get a list and write it down and tell what your daily bread is. And so I've done that in life, and I've said to God many, many times in life, God, I need this amount of money. I don't just say, God, bless me financially. I don't just say, God, bless me financially. God, I am believing you in the name of Jesus that you'll supply and you'll bring in whatever it is, $5,000, $10,000. I went to the mailbox the other day, and the lady comes in to our yard. We actually live in a country, and she does. She drives all the way down our yard, our driveway, and we've got our mailbox right there at the edge of our house. We're one of the only few people that God bless that way, but we do. And so she comes in, and she drops off the mail there for us, and I saw her, and as I was walking out, I said to her, hey! She said, what is it? I said, did they bring me my $10,000 check today? She said, I don't know, but if they did, will you give me some of it? I said, yeah, I'm going to cut you in on it when you bring it. It's a delivery fee that I'm going to give you. But she thought I was joking, and I'm, you know, a little bit of comedy in that. But I do. I expect money. Amen? I even got $50 in the mail 2 days ago. Did anybody get your $50 in the mail a couple days ago? Look at all these hands. Now, the rest of you look at them and say, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? Because of the 2018 mega lottery winner, whatever it is, I don't know how it is, but we get $50 of his money that he had that he paid taxes on. Whatever's going on in there. And that lottery, folks, stay away from the lottery. You don't need to be involved in no lottery. That's no way to live life. Everybody, and it's a shame, too. It's a shame on that lottery. You know, and they say, well, they use the lottery for education in school like that. Is that a good thing? Well, yeah, that's a good thing. But look, they're getting it from people. They're not going to college or going to any other places sometimes. And you're taking that money from poor folks who are trying to get some money, and we're taking their money and we're giving it to middle-class people who send their children to college to help pay for that. There's a lot of stuff behind this stuff when you look at it. But anyway, I got $50. I've got a whole lot more of that in the mail from time to time, too. But you can, too. God can bless you, and he can give you things like that. But expect it. Be specific about it. God, I need this amount of money. Nothing wrong with that. God, I'm expecting to receive. You know what? What do you believe in God for? I need $6,000 a month in my life. That's what I need, $6,000 a month. Lord, I need $5,000 a month, whatever it is you need. I need this amount every single month. God, I'm asking for, I'm believing, I'm receiving in the name of Jesus, $6,000 at the end of this month. Live my life. That's what I need. That's what I'm believing for. And God, you supply all my needs according to riches and glory, and I have it in the name of Jesus. And I'm standing on it and pray about it and be specific about it. Absolutely, it's not wrong to say it. Whatever it is you want, whatever you need in life, whatever you believe in God for, begin to say those things in your life. Let me get to, I got to get out of here. One other thing. In Mark chapter 5, there's that little woman that reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She said, when I touch him, I'll be made whole. Set yourself a time frame. Set yourself a day. I want it by then. I want it by now. I want it by whatever the time is I want it by. And again, don't be crazy. I mean, if you've never invested or saved money in your life, don't say, I want to be a millionaire by tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, you're praying amiss. It ain't going to happen for you that kind of way. But if you've got a plan, you've got a goal, and you set some things in order, and you say, oh, well, I want to be a millionaire by this time in February of next year. It might be. If you're close to being there, it could be. Or other things could happen, too. But set a goal. Well, how come you're going to be a millionaire by this time in February? Because I'm doing this, 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 and this. And as it grows and invests, it happens, and I'm going to be there by then. Because I've got action that's taking you there. And so you do things like that in your life. You set a time. The woman said, when I touch his garment, I'll be made whole. You could say the same thing about healing in your life. I'm believing God for healing in my life. When? When? A lot of people say, well, just whenever God wants to. Whenever God gets a good mind to. It's all up to the Lord. I'm just leading it up to him. You'll be leading it up to him for a long time, too, if that's what you're doing. No. Determine. Lord God, I've stood on your word. I've believed. I know you love me. I know you care for me. I'm believing for healing. And I'm believing for it right now, Lord. I'm believing for it right now. Because healing is a personal thing between you and God. And that's all it is, you and God. You ain't got to do this, that, or the other. Now, if you're doing some things to your body that you ought not be doing to your body, like our doctor told us and said to us, you need to lose a little bit of weight. And said, if you don't, when you get older, you could develop issues here, here, and here with blood pressure and other kind of things in your life. If you don't. And if I hadn't heeded his advice not to do that and kept on the track that was on,
Then I could develop those things. I'd cry and scream and pray all day long about high blood pressure, God heal it, and all this stuff. But if I do anything to my body to give me that, then I got to change my actions. Anybody understands that? Say amen. I mean, you can't keep beating your horse to death and expecting to win races every day. I mean, you're going to have to stop beating a horse. Don't bet on them races either. But anyway, now they got us to the horse racing. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And so set a time. This is going to happen. Get realistic. Get right before God. What is realistic? I don't know. It's between you and God. I don't know your situation. Don't know where you're at. It's between you and the Lord. So I want things to change in a relationship between me and my children. Okay, fine. Good prayer. Well, what you going to do? I ain't do nothing. I just want God to change everything. No. You're going to have to make some changes yourself. You're going to have to let them make some changes together. And it's not going to happen in the next 2.5 minutes. And it may take a little while as they see you've changed and you see they've changed and you see a relationship building and growing. That's one thing about folks when people come to church sometimes. Well, I want best friends there like I had at my other church. Well, you don't get best friends there like you had your old other church in one service. How long did it take you to get the best friends of the other church? Well, it took a while. Relationship. Well, that's fine. That's wonderful. We do have good friends at many churches. Nothing wrong with that at all. But you develop relationships. You don't just come and say, okay, you will be my best friend. You will be my prayer partner. You will be this. You will be that. You don't just do that. You develop relationships. And so when you set a time frame, understand those kind of things in the will and the mind and purposes of God. Okay, let me get out of here. Galatians 6, verse 9. We'll close right there. Folding my Bible, folding my book. Galatians 6, doesn't mean anything, though I got it right here on the iPad. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, when you determine what it is God wants you to do, stay at it, keep at it, don't quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. And he says that in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. There's a book written many years ago called Acres of Diamonds. It's about a man who lived in Africa, and there's a lot of diamonds in Africa, diamond mines. And he wanted to find diamonds on his own property. And he lived there for several years and was digging for diamonds, and never found any diamonds. Never did. And so he got fed up with it. He said, I'm done with this. And he sold his property. The next person that come in and he sold his property to, guess what? They found the diamonds. Now, I don't know when it's time for you to come or go or on that property sales, whatever. But I do know this. Many of us quit right before we get the blessing that God's promised to us. We stopped just before we were going to reap what we had been sowing. Stay with it. We shall reap if we faint not. For me, in my everyday language here in South Carolina, I'm going to win if I don't quit. That's what I'm saying. If I just stay at it long enough and keep at it, I'm going to win. I'm going to make this thing happen. I mean, think what you will, but the man, Jim Baker, in Charlotte, North Carolina, built the biggest Christian theme park in the world. It was second, I believe, in the world, only behind Disney World. So he did a great thing. Did he mess it? Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff went wrong. Okay, I understand all that. Went to jail, served time, all that. But got out, and he still saw things, still had a vision, goes to Missouri, starts stuff all over again, and doing a workout that he just won't quit. And thousands and thousands and thousands of supporters and people are with him doing what he's doing there in Missouri. And I pray, God, if he's, you know, faithful and true, and I don't have any reason to believe that he's not. If he's repentant, faithful and true, I say all God's blessing toward him. I'm all for it. I'm every bit for it. But what I'm saying to you is the man just won't quit. And people criticizing him, they ain't done what he did the first time or the second time. And so just stay at it. How long are you going to be at it? I'm going to be at it till I get it. I'm going to keep on at it till it happens. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. Amen? Amen. Like Sheila said, how many times are you going to ask me to marry you? Until you do. Amen? Stay at it. Stand with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. And don't you bow your heads. Let's go before the Lord this morning as we honor him. In Jesus' name. Father God, Lord God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Precious Father, how we love you, how we praise you. God, I recognize in this service today, Lord, each of us, Lord, there are things in our life that we desire. There are places we want to go. There's things in our life that we want to happen. God, all of those things, Lord, of course we saturate in you. We put you first in all of those things. But God, I pray, lift, encourage, inspire, bring us up to a place
to recognize that we can begin to take action on our dreams, take action on the things that you've set in our heart, and accomplish things that will bless us and our families and those that we live around and our world. And God, all of those things, Lord God, be for your glory and your honor. I ask you to bless. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Stretch your hands toward the heaven and pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Father, I come to you. I always put you first in all things. So, Lord God, if there is any sin in my life, please forgive me, wash it away, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away all of my sin. Lord God, I give my life to you to serve you from this day and every day for all of my lifetime. I give myself unto you, Lord God. Lord God, I receive your plans, your goals, your visions, your dreams for my life. They have now become mine, and I desire them, and I decree, I confess from my own mouth, from you, O Lord God, that you have given to me, that I will walk in my dreams. I'll walk in the vision. It'll be fulfilled. I will not deny the things you've spoken unto my heart. I give you myself, and Lord God, I thank you. My dreams are coming true. My desires are being fulfilled. I have what you said I can have, and I am doing what you said I could do. I thank you. My actions always bring forth a harvest of God, and I receive my harvest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Just praise Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. God Almighty, I have it, Lord. I have it now, Almighty God. I am accomplishing, Lord God. I'm receiving in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord God. My body is made whole. Thank you, Lord God. My financial life is flourishing. Thank you, Lord God. My emotions are full of joy. Thank you, Lord God. My relationships are good. Hallelujah. What a great life you've given. Lord, we give you praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? God is good, isn't He? Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you just really specially in your life have a desire that you're trusting and believing God for, and as you know it's a good thing, and you know God wants you to have it, and you're just seriously believing, you're honest before God. In the quietness of this moment, so we can all pray together, and I'm just going to agree with you as we dismiss our service today. Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I've really got a dream on my heart. Would you do it? My hand's lifted. It's yours. Do you really have something in there, something that's really special? And one thing only. There might be other things in your life, but center it in on one thing only. One thing only that you're believing God for, you're trusting God for, you got a vision for, you desire it, you want to see it happen. It's good. It's of God. It'll bless you so much. It'll bless those you're around. It'll multiply God's goodness in people's lives. And you really want to see it happen. You really do. You hunger. You thirst for it. You're believing for it. Would you just stretch your hand up toward the heaven if that's you and that's me? Come on, let's believe together. Father, in Jesus' name, with every hand of every special person, has something definitely upon their heart, Lord God. Not a grocery list, Lord God, but one thing on their hearts today. We're trusting you to see it come to pass. Lord God, do it. Do it, Lord, as we do what we should do. Lord God, fulfill it in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.